this was a great win for us because to come back on the road, I wanted to see the character of our basketball team, and I saw it tonight, and I'm real proud of that.
The good part is we're 0-0, and we had a great, you know, great cause, and this team needs to keep getting better. So don't baptize the team before they're ready. Like, just get better, and we got nice pieces.
Two coaches, two different perspectives. One, Rick Pitino, whose St. John's squad defeated Rutgers 91-85 at Jersey Mike's Arena. And the other was Steve Peichel, who took a page out of Aaron Rodgers' playbook and said, relax, relax. It's an exhibition. It doesn't count. We haven't won. We haven't lost. Our record is still 0-0. Well, I'll say this. Both coaches are sure glad they played this game. Both fan bases are ecstatic they played this game. Everyone found out a lot about their teams, what they need to work on. This is as good as an exhibition college basketball game in October can get. The hype was around this game for 2 months, give or take, 6 weeks. St. John's fans had circled it on their calendar. Rutgers fans had circled it on their calendar. St. John's players, Rutgers players. This was a big-time college basketball game in October, if there is such a thing. Is that an oxymoron? I don't know what it is. I can't even spell oxymoron, but I do know this. This is the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. My name is Brian DeNovellis, and we are going to talk St. John's and Rutgers as we get ready for the college basketball season. Man, this was a great game. Do you think I'm hype about it? I was this hype before the game. I was this hype after the game. So we're going to get right into it in a bit. We're going to talk St. John's, the pluses and minuses, the Rutgers, St. John's and minuses. We'll hear from both coaches and hear what they have to say about this game. And we'll get to it right after I tell you, I want to thank our sponsor, Mike Supa of Remax Revolution. He is a trusted name in real estate. So if you're looking to buy, list, or sell a home down the Jersey Shore, call Mike at 201-988-2577 and tell him that Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. So this game was really played between two top 25 caliber teams. Rutgers checks in at number 25 in the AP poll. St. John's is number 27, and they both acted like top 25 teams. They both wanted this game. This wasn't a, okay, we're going to put everybody in. Everybody gets a trophy. Sure, the rosters were used, right? Coaches have to use players. It's an exhibition game. But when it came down to crunch time, St. John's went for the win, and Rutgers went for the win. And isn't that what it's all about? That's Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. Rick Pitino played to win the game. Steve Peichel played to win the game. And only one team won. So let's begin there. Let's begin with St. John's. And, of course, we're going to start with Zubi Ejiofor. Why wouldn't we? Joel Soriano's understudy is now taking over the baton. He has officially become the next double-double at St. John's. Now, I know it's one game. I know Rutgers has, they certainly don't have Ralph Sampson and Akeem Olajuwon playing center, okay? We know that. For those of you who can remember those Houston Rocket teams from the 80s, okay? But Zubi Ejiofor showed you the potential of what he can do, all right? The man took 20 shots. 20 shots. He hoisted four threes, all right? This is not last year's Zubi Ejiofor, who came into this game with a career-high 13 points. This is a man on a mission who wants to bring St. John's to the NCAA tournament, who wants to make a name for himself, who wants to get to the NBA, who is living up to the five-star, four-star player that he was, the top 50 player that he was coming out of high school, and why Kansas recruited him so hard and heavy and he went there. This is the player finally living up to his potential. I mean, he was a man-child inside, outside, a variety of moves. I mean, he was grabbing offensive rebounds like he was playing against fifth graders. He had 13 rebounds, and 10 of them were on the offensive glass. Usually it's the other way around, right? Usually 10 are defensive and 3 are on the offensive glass. I mean, he made his living in the paint. You know, no parking except for Zuby. That's what it felt like. And afterward, Rick Pitino clearly had nothing but high praise for his big man, who basically said, hey, this guy came to me and people said, you know, he couldn't shoot outside of 12 feet. Well, now the guy's shooting from 22 feet and scoring. Here's Rick.
They said when I first got him that, you know, he's just a 12-foot player and he's a little bit limited in what he can do. And I think you see what he can do. 27 points, 13 rebounds, only one turnover. I was trying to get him to pop out more and take open threes. He made one, and he said he wanted to keep his percentage up so he wouldn't take any more. I think this team's got a very high ceiling. We have to do now is we got to develop a backup fives. And once we develop that, I think we'll be a much better basketball team. We've got to develop both Ruben as well as Vince, because he plays so hard. He was amazing tonight, truly amazing.
It's all going to be positive, right? But Zuby showed you the potential. He's not going to get a double-double every night. At least I don't think so. I'd like to think so, but he doesn't have to, okay? But now that we know he can do it, expectations have been raised. Okay, it's one exhibition game in October, but we have seen the potential of what he can do. And last year, he was 3 of 8 from three. So you count this one, he's now 4 of 9. Obviously, it doesn't count, but you know what I'm getting at here. I expect him to take more than 8 threes this year. Heck, he's going to take more than 8 by the end of November at this rate. He took 4 in this game, okay? He took the second most threes on this team. Now, I don't know if Pitino wants that all the time, but I'm just giving you the facts, okay? So, loved what I saw out of Zuby. If he was clearly the man, the player of the game, then RJ Lewis was right there with him, okay? 22 points, very efficient, got to the free throw line, scored in a variety of ways, inside and outside, grabbing rebounds. He was fantastic. And we saw glimpses of this last year, all right? But we know he wasn't all right with the foot. It hampered him throughout the year. The shin splints, I think it was, that hampered him throughout the year. He wasn't at 100% and really was more of an offensive player last year. Well, we're seeing a more complete RJ Lewis. He is I'm not going to say a matchup nightmare. That's a strong phrase, but he's a matchup problem. That's a good way of putting it, especially since St. John's has so many weapons, all right, that are on the same page. Last year, they had all these weapons and all these scorers, but it just seemed like they were out for themselves. It just seemed like the team never had much chemistry until Rick Pitino's infamous speech. And then, you know, they went on that great run at the end of February and into March. But I think we're seeing a more cohesive team. I think we're seeing a team that played together all summer and that is ready to burst onto the scene in another few weeks. And RJ Lewis is at the center of that. Now, what I don't like is that he can still be selfish. He can still, you know, just put his head down and say, all right, I'm scoring no matter what. And you saw that a few times where it's like, dude, pass the ball, like work the ball around for a better shot. No, he already had made up his mind that he wants to shoot. So I don't know. Do you have to live and die with it? I'm sure Pitino harps on him and tells him these things, but at some point you're going to have to deal with it, St. John's fans, and know, you know, that you hope the good outweighs the bad. All right. But afterward, again, Pitino had high praise, praise of the highest magnitude, and called him unguardable, when he moves without the ball.
And RJ learned a lot of valuable lessons tonight himself, because when he moves without the basketball, he's lethal. He's a lethal passer. He's unguardable. He's a great offensive rebounder. Just as good a player as I've coached. He's a tremendous young man and tremendous player. And talent-wise, he's a first-round draft choice. Lock, stock, and barrel. He's a first-round draft choice. Hope he stays with me forever, but he's a lock, stock, first-round draft choice. And he'll be a terrific pro, because he can defend, he can rebound, he can pass, he can cut, he can shoot now with great efficiency. He's so, you know, a lot of people talk. My guys don't get mentioned too much about the draft, but this guy is a lock, stock, first-rounder.
So Lewis was magnificent. Zubi was a man-child. And how about Kadari Richmond? First time I'm seeing him in red, and I'm sorry. You know, it's going to take a while to get used to it. I'm a Seton Hall fan. I don't hide my dedication and my allegiance to my alma mater. All right. But I root for all the teams in the tri-state. Kadari Richmond in red, I'll get used to it. It just may take me a few games, okay? But whether Kadari Richmond is in blue, red, purple, green, he's Kadari Richmond. And the only reason why we didn't see the full gamut of Kadari Richmond in this game is because he got into foul trouble and picked up two fouls in the first 8 minutes and had to sit on the bench. So we barely got to see him, and then he sat on the bench for 12 minutes. And if you saw the game, or if you heard about it, that's when Rutgers erupted on a 22-0 run. That wasn't a coincidence. Okay, I'm not saying every time Kadari Richmond goes to the bench, the other team's going to go on a 22-0 run, but it very much had a lot to do with it. And then we saw his value in the second half when he played 18 of the 22 minutes, or 20, excuse me, 18 of the 20 minutes. I never said I was the greatest at math. And he put together just a half of what you could see that Kadari Richmond does. His plus minus for the game was a team high plus 20. That tells you his value there when Kadari's on the floor. He did not light up the stat sheet, but he did a little bit of everything, what Kadari does. Second half, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists in 18 minutes. 6 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. For the game, 9 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Now imagine if he had played 35 minutes, right? He's trending toward a triple-double. That's what Kadari Richmond does. He is an elite passer. He's got more weapons around him this year than he did last year at Seton Hall. Not to say that Seton Hall didn't have scorers, but St. John's has more scorers and more scoring options. So I would expect his numbers to go up in some aspects, certainly with the assists, but the scoring is going to be interesting. Will his scoring go down this year? Or will it stay about the same? That's going to be something. But I don't think Kadari really cares about that. I think all he cares about is leaving his legacy in 1 year at St. John's and getting this team as far as it can into postseason, into March, in the Big East tournament and the NCAA tournament. All right? This is Kadari Richmond's team. Yes, Zubi is the captain, but Kadari Richmond is the straw that will stir the drink. Can this team survive without Kadari? Yes. Can Simeon Wiltshire, can Davon Smith bring the ball up? Of course they can, and run the offense. RJ Lewis can, for that matter. But when I saw the three guards, when I saw Kadari and Wiltshire and Davon Smith out there, man, things were happening. Things were happening, all right? Simeon Wiltshire had a freshman season that most freshmen, 90% of freshmen in the country, 95% would have transferred and said, you know what, I'm out of here. But somehow Rick Pitino and St. John's convinced him to stay. And we saw some explosiveness against Rutgers. We saw some elevation with a left-handed jam that was spectacular. We saw him hit mid-range. We saw him speed around with the ball and distribute. He's exciting. Now we know why he was a top 100 player. Think higher, top 60 out of Roselle Catholic. Okay. He's just beginning to scratch the surface. Okay. You know, last year was his mentorship year. Now he's ready to blossom with Kadari and Davon, and we'll see where it goes. But he had a great game with 15 points and really, really impressed me with his athleticism. Davon Smith, I think it's going to take time for him to figure out Pitino's system. You know, this is a guy who was the man at Utah, and now he's got to share all that. He's got to figure out how he fits in to this lineup and how he fits in to this offense and defense. I'll tell you right now, he fits in just fine with that defense. How about that steal, right? 30 seconds to go. Rutgers down three with the ball, and they put the ball into the hands of Dylan Harper. You're going to see that a lot this year. And he drove, and Smith picked him clean. I mean, picked him clean, went the other way, gets fouled, and really helps seal that game with a huge steal late with his defense. His defense was felt late. Kadari Richmond's defense was felt late when he picked off a pass. On the next possession, Jordan Durkak from Rutgers had an errant pass, and Kadari picked it off and went the other way and effectively ended this game and ended this win for St. John's when they closed the game on a 14-2 run. And that, over the final 4 minutes, was when Kadari Richmond was at his best. And he led this team to a victory. That is what Kadari can do. St. John's fans are going to love him. Now, will there be some frustrating moments with Kadari where you feel like, you know, he's not giving it his all, or he looks like he's being lazy out there, or something happens, right? There's always something with Kadari. You can count on that. If not, then tip the cap to Rick Pitino, okay? You may just prepare yourselves. There may be moments like that, all right? It's too early to tell, but if Kadari is at his best, he is not only a first-team All-Big East player, he's an All-American candidate for sure, okay? He's that good at the college level. One other thing I want to talk about individually that I liked was Aaron Scott. He is smooth, and he is going to get opportunities to shoot threes this year. At 6'7", he is going to be a weapon out on that perimeter. 10 points, you know, he had 3 of 9 from the floor, and 7 of those 9 field goal attempts were from three, but that's what you can get out of him, okay? They need guys who can knock down threes consistently, and I have a feeling that he is going to be the one that leads St. John's in three-point field goals made and three-point field goals attempted, unless Zubi Ejiofor gives him a run for his money, right? Which I don't think that's going to happen. He is going to be the guy, all right? He is going to be the main marksman. Can Kadari hit a three? Until I see how Rick Pitino worked his magic and fixed Kadari's shot, I'm going to be a doubting Thomas. I'll believe it when I see it. He's 22, 23 years old. I don't think that hitch will be completely fixed where Kadari Richmond, you know, has a consistent three. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my feeling. Okay. He doesn't need to. Okay. There are more than enough players out there who on this team who have the ability to hit the three more consistently. So St. John's check the boxes. They get the win. They come from behind multiple times. They were down double digits in the first half and the second half. This team is resilient. They showed the ability to come back multiple times. They are tough. They rebound. They are more connected than last year's team. They will only get better. Okay, this team rebounds like their meal money depends on it. I do think that one thing, if there's something concerning coming out of this game, is that they gave up the 22-0 run. And what was their Achilles heel last year? They would build leads only to give them up. They would give up massive, massive double-digit runs and lose games they should have won. It happened time and time again. It happened against Seton Hall. It happened against Marquette. I think it happened against Xavier. You name it, it happened. So that is something to keep an eye on this year. But I can tell you right now, I haven't seen every Big East team, by no means, but I think this team deserves to be predicted in the top four. To me, they are a top four team. And they, after UConn, I think they can challenge Creighton or Marquette for a top three spot. If everything goes well for this team, that is their potential. I put them in the top four, but they can challenge for the top three. All right, Rutgers. Where do we begin? We begin right with the freshmen. That's where we begin, okay? Because they're going to be the story all year. There were 40 members of the media at this game, which is a record for any Rutgers exhibition. This felt like a game. This felt like a Big Ten game, or let's call it a non-conference matchup in the middle of February. It had that feel. 40 members of the media, 20, count them, 20 NBA scouts at an exhibition game in October. Get used to it. Now, are they there to see RJ Lewis, who Rick Pitino said will be a first-round draft pick? Yes. Were they there to see Kadari Richmond? Yes. But I'll tell you right now, they were all there to see Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. And these two produced in their first game playing in front of fans. They were very, very good. They scored inside. They scored outside. Bailey showed a great stroke. At one point, he hit back-to-back threes and forced Pitino to call a timeout in the first half. One of them was with, I think it was Wilcher in his face. And then he was talking smack after he hit the three. I mean, he has unlimited potential. Finished with 25 points. Took 9 threes. Made 4. Look, he scored 25. Harper scored 20. Harper was a little more efficient. Harper is your classic, you know, I'm going to take what the defense gives you. But at any given point in these games, you get the feeling that Bailey and Harper will go on scoring sprees and simply take over games. They're that good, all right? In a lot of games, they're going to be the best players on the court. In most games, they're going to be the most talented players on the court. There's a difference, right? Talent and being the best. But you get what I'm saying. They are that good. But they're going to need to be good for 40 minutes. And against St. John's, they were very good for 36. And they were invisible for the last four when St. John's closed the game on a 14-2 run. Regular season, you're really upset with that. Exhibition, all right, guys, now we know what we have to work on. We have to be better in crunch time. They will win a lot of games this year, Rutgers. They will win a lot of games with Bailey and Harper playing really well. And this won't be the last time you see them score 20 points in a game, each of them. But they had 0 in the final 4 minutes when St. John's won this game. Am I blaming it on them? No, because Jordan Durkak was the only one who scored 2 points in the final 4 minutes. All right, Ace Bailey's free throws were the final points that Rutgers had in the last 4 minutes. So the weight of the world should not be on their shoulders. They're freshmen. My point is this. You're going to see highs and lows of a freshman. I guarantee you are going to see a lot more highs than lows, but there's going to be freshman moments. Just be prepared for them. You hope the freshman moments don't cost you a game. You hope the freshman moments come earlier in the game than later, but they're going to come. They are going to be fine. How well the pieces contribute around them will determine Rutgers' fate this year. All right? Rutgers' fate will not be determined by Harper and Bailey. This is not 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics, okay? They will be determined at how well the other players play, how well these two can elevate their games, and how well the individuals can elevate their games. All right? We didn't even see Tyson Acuff, who was the fifth leading scorer in the country, because he's still getting his legs back from under him. I mean, he barely stepped on the court in this game. So that has yet to be determined. But for the players who played, the other ones I want to talk about, I really loved what I saw from the two transfers, well, two of the transfers, Durkak and Hayes. Hayes showed you what he can do, scoring 13 points in the first half. He ignited the team, hit threes, hit a two. He didn't miss a shot. He hit all four of his field goals, all three of his threes, and both of his free throws. He is going to be a fan favorite. He fits right in. Start the comparisons to Cam Spencer, okay? They're going to happen. They're going to happen because he's coming from a lower level program, all right? Former D2 player, played very well at San Diego last year, and now he's being brought in to ignite this team offensively, hit threes, hustle, do a little bit of everything. You know, you can see a little attitude in him. I know he's a West Coast guy, but, you know, he's already got a little Jersey attitude. When you step on the floor at Rutgers, you have to bring it like that. So, yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. And I don't know what he's going to average this year, but he is going to be a factor offensively. And Jordan Durkak is just going to be a factor, period. All right? This is, hey, coach, whatever you need me to do. He's a Mr. I can do whatever you need me to do. You want me to play defense? Sure, put him on Kadari Richmond. You want me to get a rebound? Sure. I'll lead the team in rebounds, coach, with 7 rebounds. Jordan Durkak, who was playing last year at Merrimack, okay? You want him to get an assist? Sure, coach. I got 3 of those, too. You want me to get a steal? Sure, coach. I got one of those, right? Does a little bit of everything. He is going to ignite this fan base as well. You know, I think he was nervous offensively. That will come. But you know, he's going to see the floor. He's going to see the floor because he plays outstanding defense. He hustles and he does all the intangibles. And we know Steve Peichel loves those players. So those two are going to be fun to watch. And, you know, it's not like one replaces the other. They're playing on the court with one another. So, you know, Peichel's going to play the players who are playing at their best. And against St. John's, I'm going to say it, Jeremiah Williams was not at his best. That's why he only played 16 minutes. It was one game. He's the captain of this team. He deserves to start and will start for the foreseeable future. But, you know, Williams has to figure out his role in here, right? He led the team in scoring last year. He came and really made a mark in February and into March, and he led Rutgers in scoring. And now that's not going to happen. Odds are it's going to be Dylan Harper or Ace Bailey leading this team in scoring. Book it, okay? One or the other or both are going to lead this team in scoring. So players have to find out where they fit in, right? Acuff averaged over 20 points a game last year. Where does his offense fit in? Where does Jeremiah Williams fit in? It has yet to be determined, but I'll say this. This team can score in bunches. Offense will not be a problem for this team. My colleague, my guy Dave Gurney, who I have known since we were covering Rutgers and Seton Hall and New Jersey College basketball together. We teach together now, okay? My guy Gurney knows Rutgers as well as anyone. Been a season ticket holder since he was in diapers with his dad, Daryl, okay? He is a Rutgers lifer. And if he says to me, this is the best Rutgers offensive team I've ever seen, then I'm going to say this is the best Rutgers offensive team I've ever seen. But I don't need Dave to tell me that. I know what I saw as well, okay? This team is going to be very good offensively. And we know Steve Peichel is not known for being an offensive guru. You will not see Steve Peichel holding an offensive coaches clinic down the Jersey Shore over the summer. It's not happening. Defensive clinic, sign me up. Okay? It's odd that we're saying Rutgers' offense is better than its defense, but that's where they're at right now. Okay? Because the defense was MIA. The defense, when Rutgers needed to be good, allowed 91 points and 55 in the second half. 55 points in the second half, 91 for the game. Again, it's an exhibition. I know that, but you can't tell me they weren't out there trying to win. So what does that tell you? This team needs to work on their defense, and they will. Why? Because Steve Peichel is as good as it gets defensively. They're at the top or near the top every year in the Big Ten. Steve Peichel knows it. He said as much in his press conference.
These are good games for us, and I said this to our guys in the locker room. We know we got to get better. Even if we won the game, I'd be telling you the same thing. We got to do some things better. We haven't been rebounding the ball well in practices, and you know we got to do obviously a better job. And obviously, 91 points isn't where you know I want to be with our basketball team giving up that many points. But when you play good players and good experienced teams, Hall of Fame coach, you know for a great cause, it's you know it's a good day.
All right, so. The last thing I want to talk about with Rutgers is the three-headed monster at center. We knew going in, Steve Peichel did not address the center position through the portal. Fans were screaming in the offseason, we need a center, we need a center. Look, it wasn't there. My guess is the NIL money just wasn't there. All right. When you have Ace Bailey and you have Dylan Harper and you bring in Tyson Acuff and you bring in Zach Martini and you bring in PJ Hayes, right? They put their money elsewhere. So they didn't get a center. They didn't get the center they wanted. And now this is what you have. You have Emmanuel Ogbole, who is as big as they come, but very limited offensively. And skill-wise, doesn't have it, okay? We saw what Zubi Ejiofor did. Ate them alive, all of them. That is a concern when you get to the Big Ten. That is a concern when you go up against teams with big front lines or teams that have, you know, centers who can score. How are you going to defend them? You follow them? I mean, what do? Zach Martini, I love him. He's undersized. He's a four. He's a hybrid 3-4. He's not a five, but he's forced to play there. Lathan Somerville will need to become a sophomore as soon as possible. He needs to not play like a freshman as soon as possible. Okay. And if Rutgers, if they can do that, then I think come Big Ten time in January, let's hope Lathan Somerville is looking more like a sophomore than a freshman, because that's what you're going to need. I don't think Emmanuel Ogbole is suddenly going to turn into, you know, Cliff Amore offensively. And we know Amore was challenged offensively, but my point is this. Amore was a beast defensively, one of the best defensive centers in the country, and he could put the ball in the hoop enough to give you something at that position. So we'll see. that is something that could plague and come back to haunt Rutgers this year. But I will say this, it's going to be plenty of games where they can win without a center scoring and playing defense. There's going to be games where they won't need a center. And there's going to be games where their offensive talent and scoring will overcome that. But you see what I'm getting at here. There's also going to be times when it hampers them and costs them, like it did against St. John's. Because not only did Zubi Ejiofor go off, but they got bullied on the boards, 46-37 and 21-13 on the offensive glass. They were -9 in rebounds and -8 on the offensive glass. So that's really where they need to figure out how they're going to rebound. And if Jordan Durkak, with all due respect, is your leading rebounder this season, then it's going to be a long season in the paint and on the boards. Mark my words. So something to chew on there, okay? But let's end it like this. Rutgers is going to be a very good team. I can see them remaining in the top 25, going into Vegas, and then we'll see what they're made of when they go up against Houston and Alabama and Notre Dame, and we can really, really see what it's like against that competition. And then they come back and Seton Hall and Princeton, and you can see I'm juiced up for this because we are going to see the evolution of this team and how well Steve Peichel can mold it offensively and defensively. Rutgers and St. John's will both be in the top 25 together early in the season. And I think both teams will be playing in the NCAA tournament come March. Those are my predictions. All right. That'll do it for this edition of the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. That was fun. All right. An exhibition game like this with this much hype that lived up to the billing, lived up to the hype, deserved its own podcast. Before we go, I'd like to say thank you to my sponsor, Mike Supa of Remax Revolution. If you're looking to buy, sell, or list a home down the Jersey Shore, we're talking Monmouth and Ocean Counties. Give Mike a call, 201-988-2577. Tell him Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for sharing the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. So long.